Saya risau ni, Indonesia. Indonesia is a time bomb. We just don't know kan. Mungkin sure saya kepada MKN. We have to
control the border.
Control our borders. Otherwise, that will be another huge cluster of COVID-19. Wallahu a'lam.
Thank you for staying with Sharad and I. Consider this. That was Dr. Musa Nordin on Agenda Awani a few nights ago, speaking about the necessity of increasing border control between Malaysia and Indonesia to prevent the possibility of another COVID cluster emerging. Joining us on the line now to give us a better understanding of the situation there on the ground, we have Andreas Harsono, researcher at Human Rights Watch based in Jakarta. Andreas, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. What did you make of that clip from Dr. Musa, his comments about Indonesia being a ticking time bomb?
It is difficult to defend Indonesia because it is quite obvious that there is a lack of preparation on this side of the border. Indonesia has low testing rate. We are also having low preparations in terms of hazmat suit, masks. There are more than 30 doctors and nurses and other medical workers who have died over the last 5 weeks since the virus was announced by President Jokowi on March the 2nd. At the same time, our ventilators are very limited. Indonesia has only 661 public hospitals, and only half of them have ventilators. So it is difficult to defend Indonesia's situation right now. But of course, the thing that we need to do better is not only to talk about our borders, but at the same time, we need to cooperate better. We need to collaborate better because this is obviously not a Malaysia-only issue or an Indonesian-only issue or Singapore. This is happening worldwide, globally. We need to increase our international cooperation battling this coronavirus.
Andreas, tell us a little bit about the leadership of Jokowi, the president, and his team. Do Indonesians have confidence that they're doing the right thing, that they're actually taking the bull by the horns, or is there a sense of incompetence on the part of the Indonesian government in dealing with the COVID crisis?
Oh, yes. There are quite a lot of criticism. First, because the health minister in February denied a Harvard University calculation that there were coronavirus cases in Indonesia. He said it is not true, it is an insult to Indonesia government. He also did not prepare well. As of mid-March, only one single lab can do the test in Indonesia. As of today, there are still less than 20 nationwide, and this is a country of 280 million people. Of course, the government is building emergency hospital, I think several of them already. But again, you can build hospital, you can bring in beds, you can produce hazmat suit. But doctors are dying, and it takes a lot of time to train a doctor, and not to calculate doctors who are infected, nurses who are infected. Of course, they cannot work because of the infection. Thus, we are having a severe situation in Indonesia right now.
Andreas, all these figures that you've raised tonight are very troubling to hear on this side of the border. But I'm wondering, given now that you have these numbers, you're talking about these facts, is there transparency now about the severity of the situation?
Oh yes, people are scared. The mood is dark and darker. Especially in Jakarta, which is the epicenter of the outbreak, and a bigger sense on the island of Java, where Jakarta is located. If the outbreak is going to spread, and of course it is spreading, the hardest hit will be Java Island, and there are 140 million people living on this particular island, Indonesia's most important island. So the mood is people are nervous, people are scared. To some extent, people have questioning the Jokowi government. But at the same time, I would like to say, what government is prepared dealing with this outbreak?
Andreas, what are the options before the Indonesian government at its central level as well as the provinces? I understand you just mentioned islands. I mean, this is an archipelago, 12,000 islands or so. How do you do a lockdown, for instance? Is that even an option for the Indonesian government?
Lockdown nationally is extremely difficult. It's not impossible because this is an archipelago. We have, depending on the time, the tide, 17 or 18,000 islands. But of course, our main concern are not all those islands. The main concern is the island of Java or islands close to Java, like Bali or Madura Island. They are very close. And to some extent, also southern Sumatra. So these are the areas where we are very concerned that the outbreak might create huge problems in this part of the archipelago. Jakarta itself will have lockdown this Friday.
Andreas, have you heard of any kind of dialogue between Malaysia and Indonesia on our borders? We have a very, very long border, very porous. You said islands, beaches. How do we secure those, especially in the face of Indonesia perhaps running late in terms of controlling the COVID crisis on your side of the border?
Of course, the longest land border is between Kalimantan and Sarawak, Sabah. And as long as I know, there is no talk about how to safeguard this border. And by the way, like I said, Kalimantan is not the hardest hit island of this outbreak in Indonesia. The hardest hit is Java Island, south of Kalimantan. And basically, all airports are now strictly controlled. You cannot leave Jakarta without securing a document that you are 100% healthy. And vice versa, you cannot land in Pontianak or Banjarmasin or Balikpapan, which is close to the Malaysian border, without having a secure medical certificate.
All right, Andreas, all the best to you in Jakarta. Stay safe, stay healthy there. Thank you so much for speaking with us tonight. That's all the time we have for you on this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris with Misha Radkutan signing off. Thank you so much for watching and good night.